Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Can we please repeat this? The person who has not yet any time received the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offering by such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service is to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. Maharaj Raghugan inquires from great saint Jad Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated stage of a Paramhansa. And in answer, the great saint replies as follows, Srimad Bhagavatam 5:12. Rahugana taita tapasana yati na cheshasya nirvapanad grahada na chandava naiva jalagni suryer vina mahatpadrajo pishekam. O King Rahugan, Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. O King Rahugan, the perfectional stage of devotional service or the Paramhamsa stage of life cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of the penances in the hot sun, within cold water or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamala Dasa Dasa Nudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servant of the Lord, who maintains the gopi themselves at Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servant, and thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotees. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admissions into his association. The conclusion is therefore that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by once doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Chandramuli Swami Tinamine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desitari. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. श्री भागवत महापुराण की जय। हरे कृष्णा एवरीबॉडी। आई वुड लाइक टू स्टार्ट टुडे विथ ट्यूसडे। आई केम हियर ऑन ट्यूसडे एंड ऑल रेडी टू गिव अ क्लास। एंड नॉर्मली इट इज ऑलवेज ट्यूसडे। Now you all might wonder, why am I bringing this up? But there is a reason for that. So I didn't look at the day, and I was all ready to give a class, or try to give a class, and it was Antaran Prabhu's day. So my apology to Antaran Prabhu for causing this misunderstanding. But then, yesterday I made another error. I made the same mistake. And I had another meeting with somebody. And I was all ready at given time. And nobody was coming online. So I phoned. And they said, Mataji, it's tomorrow. So it's today. So I was quite baffled. I was quite taken back that what's going on? one error is okay, but two in a row. And I kept thinking about it yesterday, meditating on that. And my conclusion is that sometimes we get caught in a web. You've seen the spider's web, and you see a big spider, and then there is a little fly, and that fly is caught up in the web. So I realized quite late at night that actually I was caught up in the spider's web of what I did in the past and what I didn't do in the past. And in future, what will be the consequences? So I was caught up in my head. And so because my head was full of all these past and future, I forgot the present. But Prayojana Prabhu, thank you very much. On Tuesday, he came into the deity kitchen and he shed some light. And he said that don't live in the past, don't live in the future. Because we don't know the past. We know the past, we can't do anything about it. And we don't know the future. So why worry? Gone is gone. Tomorrow we don't know. But live in the moment. Live in the present. And that really made big sense to me. Now, the reason I have brought this up, there is a reason for that. If I forget, remind me at the end. So coming back... Thank you, Prabhuji. So coming back to our verse, our sloka, Canto 3 entails pure devotional service. And Shukadev Goswami concludes right at the end, and we are coming to the end of this third chapter. So, and Srila Prabhupada gives a very precise instructions right at the end. So devotional service to the Lord is higher than any worship of demigods. Yet, in this chapter, there is a whole paragraph and all verses about demigod worship. If you want, whatever you want, there are various demigods that we can worship. And you people would get what they want because of the austerities or penances they do. And in the nectar of devotion, from 20 to 22, I think, it says that how all the limbs, our limbs are useless if they are not used in the service of the Supreme. But coming back to this demigod worship, Srila Chakravarti Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states about ghosts and non-devotees who create fear in devotees. Now, how is it possible? Has anybody been subjected to that type of a fear? And known, like in Christianity, when Jesus was preaching the glories of the God, talking about the kingdom of the God, the non-devotees created so much fear in devotees there at that time. And previously we have seen, we have read in Srimad Bhagavatam, our classic example is Prahlad Maharaj. When he was serving the Lord, when he was focused in his sadhana, his own father, Hiranyakashipu, created fear. Mind of Prahlad Maharaj was not fearful, but people around were fearful. So it's a tendency of non-devotees. Like Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, that they can cause fear among devotees. And if I can bring that to today's terms, when we joined ISKCON, when we started coming to the manor many years ago, and at that time, ISKCON was considered druggist and all that, hippies and all that. So our peers, our society, it started from within. Our own family members were completely against us. They completely ostracized us. And they created fear in our hearts. Why? The rejection. That we will be rejected. Then there was the neighbors. Then there was the community. Then the wider society. It was quite hard in those days, and older devotees, whoever are here, they might have experienced a similar behavior, similar treatment. But with us, our rising sun, our grace was one devotee. And I would like to say his name, and that is Dwarkapuri Prabhu. He held us and he looked after us. And for over 40 years, he has looked after us. So our three generations have been taken care by this one devotee. People were frightened of him, of his appearance. But we had unique relationship with him. And I very fondly remember when we used to run to him and crying that that person is giving us hard time, we are being rejected. He used to say, "Don't worry, just tell them to go away." So the fear that has been created is not only in the past, it's still going on. Even to this date, sometimes parents come to me and say, "My son wants to join the temple," or "My son is not listening to me, he's always reading Bhagavad Gita and this, don't want to do anything. What can I do?" So this conflict between trying to be devotees and non-devotees was there, it's here, and it will be always there. Because we are in that yuga, we are in Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, this is going to happen whether here, whether in India or any part of the world. The fear within our community was that if you don't worship this demigod, this will happen to you. If you don't worship your pitrus, this will happen to you. And life is such, this is dukkhalai. And we go through some calamities in life. Is there anybody here who can say they have never had a rough ride in life? So we all have had rough rides, right? Does it mean that if you are not worshipping one demigod or one this personality, we go through that calamities in life? But when we are young in Krishna consciousness, that fear sits in the heart and you start questioning whether am I on the right path or not. And at that time you need somebody like an iron pole on whom you can lean on. So that was the norm then. And it's a norm even today. Going further, Srila Prabhupada is giving example of King Rahugan, that how he was the king previously, and then he became a deer, and now in this life, he has chosen to be complete avadhuta. And this did not happen without the mercy of devotees. Without the mercy of devotee. Now in the life of Jad Bharat, he did not associate with any devotees as such. But in previous lives, he had spent all his life around devotees, even in the body of a deer. So without the mercy of pure devotee, bhakti is not possible. It's the whole essence of this verse is coming to the mercy of devotees. And in the Shastras, we have read, we have heard many, many classes about Srila Narad Muni. Can somebody say how many souls Narad Muni has delivered or showed them the path of devotion? Anybody? Countless. Can we name few? How many people he made devotees? Prahlad Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj, and the list is countless. We cannot even count how many he has delivered. Srila Vyasadeva. And because of that, we are able to read, even little understand Bhagavatam. So he has delivered so many. By enlightening Vyasadeva, we have the benefit of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by delivering a Valmiki Rishi, who was a hunter, what did we get? We got Ramayana. So Valmiki Rishi wrote Ramayana before writing Ramayana, before he became Valmiki Rishi. Who was he? He was a hunter. He used to go into forest, kill the animals, bring the dead bodies home, and feed the children and wife, parents. And one time Narad Muni met him, and Narad Muni looked at the dead body and asked this hunter that, do you know the karmic reaction you will get by killing this, because you haven't given this animal a body, so you have no right to take it. But the hunter said, no, I will distribute the karma. I will not take all the karma. My family, my parents, my children, they all will be part of that karma. So Narad Muni said, no, you go home and find out. I will wait for you here. So he went home. First of all, he asked his parents, who were very old, that I'm bringing this food home and there is going to be some karmic reaction. Will you be part of that karma? So the parents said, when you were growing up, we looked after you. We fed you. We took care of you. Now we are old. It is your duty to look after us. So however you bring, we cannot take any karmic reaction for that because it's your duty. And he had a shock of his life. He was shocked. Then he went to his wife. That, would you take some part of the karma? And the wife said, no. Because when my father, when married me to you, gave my hand in your hand, you promised that you will take care of me. So you take care of me. However you bring, whatever you bring at home, that is not up to me. I cannot take part in that karmic reaction. And he went to his children. Same question again. And children said, no, we are young. We don't know how to prepare food or what to do. So whatever you do, that is your karma because we are under your shelter. Now this statement from parents, from wife, and from children. What do you think it did to him? He had a shock of his life, isn't it? If it was in today's term, we would go completely mad, mental about it. That how dare I am bringing all this and you, none of you want to take part in the karma? So he ran. He started running to the forest. And he met Narad Muni. And Narad Muni was smiling. And looked at him with that compassion in his eyes, that this soul is going to be delivered now. And Narad Muni gave him a mantra. In that yuga, the mantra was Ram, Ram. But this hunter had killed all his life. That's all he knew. He could not pronounce Ram, Ram, Ram. So Narad Muni said, there's a dead body here, which you have killed. So sit in front of that and just go Mara, Mara means dead, dead, Mara, Mara, Mara. And by saying Mara, 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 Ram, 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 Ram. And 60,000 years went by. And he had a huge, what you call them? Anthill. And that anthill in Sanskrit is called Valmik. So when Narad Muni came again and got him out from this anthill, at that time Narad Muni gave him the name Valmiki. Because he came out of the ant Valmik. So his name was Valmiki. And he was a transformed person. He was not that hunter who had no mercy. Here Valmiki appeared in a form of full of compassion, mercy. He had the qualities of devotee. The whole transformation took place. And again he met Narad Muni, and Narad Muni gave him instructions that I would like you to write Ramayana. You write Ramayana. And he had no idea how do I write? What do I do? And he asked Narad Muni that, is there any person living who has got 16 qualities about whom I can write? And Valmiki Rishi gave a whole list of 16 qualities of Lord Ram residing in Ayodhya. And from there, Valmiki Rishi wrote the Ramayana. There were 100 crore verses in Ramayana. But they all are gone everywhere. There's a big list. Who had what? I don't remember all of them, but Lord Shiva had all of them. And he gave a big portion to demigods, big portion to Patal Lok, big portion to earth. And from that, he divided again. And the way he started dividing, right at the end, Mother Parvati said, you have given everything. All the slokas you have given away. So what have you got left now? And Lord Shiva said, I have got 2 syllables left out of the 100 crore slokas. I have got now 2 syllables. And Mother Parvati looked at him in dismay and said, you had the whole khajano, you had the whole wealth. And which are these syllables? And Lord Shiva said, I have got Ra and Ma. Those 2 syllables I have got. So Ram's name is that powerful. And Narad Muni gave that instructions to Valmiki Rishi. So Narad Muni has done tremendous service for the Lordship. Another person from Ramayana comes in my mind is Shabari. It's the Mataji, it's a lady from Bhil. Today, in today's term, what do they call? Dialects? Tribal. Yes, and she was only a little girl, and her marriage was organized. And just before her marriage, she looked outside from where she was, and there were uncountable goats and little sheep. They were in the courtyard. They were brought there. So she asked her father that, why these goats and why, what are they doing here? Shri Radha Kulunanda ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So her father said that all these are for your wedding. We have to serve, we have to feed the groom and all the family. And she couldn't understand still. So she asked further, and he said, they all will be killed, and this is the food all the baratis, everybody will have. And this girl's heart sank, because she had never seen this before. Whatever, they must be eating, but she had never seen the live goat or sheep being slaughtered. So in the middle of the night, she ran away. She left her home. And she walked miles and miles and miles. And eventually she came into Dandakaranya, far away from where they were. And there she went into one ashram, and Rishi Matanga lived there. It was a hermitage of Matanga Rishi. And there was an ashram and there were few disciples, seeing this little girl. Can you imagine? She walked miles. Her state of physical, we cannot even imagine. So Matanga Rishi took her under his care. And this girl, she started serving Matanga Rishi. She would bring flowers. She would do anything that Rishi asked her. And time went by. And Shabri she came into her youth. But her service to Matanga Rishi was at the highest level. She was such an obedient servant of Matanga Rishi. And eventually the time came when Matanga Rishi had to leave this world. So he called Shabri and said, "I'm very happy with your service to me. I am giving you benediction. You stay in this Dandakaran. Just stay here and chant the Lord's name. And one day Ram will come to you." And years went by. But she only had one thing in her mind, her dedication to her spiritual master. She did not deviate from that. And one day, she had bent from her body. She became very old. At that time, Ram and Lakshman entered that forest in search of Mother Sita. And the whole forest, even the leaves, were chanting, "Ram, Ram, Ram, Ram." And Lakshman was bewildered. He said, there's some demon here. And Ram looked at Lakshman and said, "You don't recognize the feeling of a devotee? There is one great devotee waiting for me." And Ram and Lakshman went there. And Shabri, in the presence of Ram and Lakshman, went back home. So Shabri was delivered by Matanga Rishi. And coming back to in this yuga, about 1,000 years ago, Sripad Ramanujacharya, he was given a mantra. And the mantra was, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." And his guru said to him, "This is a secret and sacred mantra. You don't give to anybody. This is not to be distributed." We all are very fortunate. I wouldn't say we are very fortunate. We are rare. Our fortune is rare. Because the Maha Mantra that we are chanting is not available. It was never available to even demigods. What to speak of us? But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here. And now we are able to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Are we eligible to chant this unique mantra? I am not. It's only by the mercy of devotees and Srila Prabhupada we are able to do this. So this Ramanujacharya, what did he do? He went to the temple, he got up in the balcony and he shouted to people that, "Please come, I have got something unique to give you." And he started giving them this mantra. And his guru found out. So his guru called him and said, "What are you doing? You'll go to hell for giving this mantra. I told you not to give to anybody." And he folded his hands and said, "Guru Maharaj, I am prepared to go to hell, but look, all these people are going to be delivered. If they go back to Godhead, I don't mind going to hell." That was the conviction of Ramanujacharya. That was the mercy of Ramanujacharya. And that's why Ramanujacharya is Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. And then, going back into Treta Yuga, gopis, they gave mercy to Uddhava. Uddhava was all jnani. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, not with knowledge, not with renunciation, not with varnashram, with any system we cannot gain bhakti. The only way we can have devotional service is by the mercy of devotees. And here Uddhavji was a disciple of Brihaspati, very jnani, knew all. And when he went to Vrindavan, when Krishna sent him to Vrindavan, what did he do? He went with his big turban. The previous slok was, isn't it, that if there is a big turban, you cannot bow down. So he had this big turban of jnana in his head. And what happened? When he met gopis, and particularly when he met Srimati Radharani, all his jnana had no value. Eventually he prayed that I want to be in Vraj as the grass, so gopis and devotees will walk on me. So, again, the mercy of these devotees. And in today's time, among us, Srila Prabhupada. How merciful is Srila Prabhupada? How compassionate is Srila Prabhupada? None of us are deserving. I mean, some of you must be. I don't want to commit any offenses, but mostly we are not worthy of this type of mercy. And why Srila Prabhupada went to West? What was it about going to West? Because his heart was full of compassion. And devotees, out of all these qualities, number one quality is compassion. Because if we don't have compassion, we might know all the shastra, we might know all the bhajans, we might be doing 101 services, but if we haven't got compassion, then all these will be fruitless. And Srila Prabhupada's mercy has no boundary. In India, even today, women are not allowed to do any service. The only service we can do is sweep the courtyards in the temples. But what did Srila Prabhupada do? What did he do? He gave us a privilege to cook for Krishna, to initiate us. Cook for Krishna, dress Krishna, do aarti, perform all these activities that in our life we would never ever dream of. When I first got my Brahman initiation and I was serving the deities, I was on the altar doing aarti, my father came to see me and he could not believe it. There were tears streaming down his eyes that women are never allowed. And here Srila Prabhupada has changed the face of the earth. I hope I'm not committing offenses, but none of the great acharyas of these four sampradayas have done this. That given privilege to, in shastras they say, women, shudra, all them, never got privilege. So my obeisance is again and again to Srila Prabhupada. And we all will be indebted to Srila Prabhupada life after life after life. When I was reading this sloka and when I was trying to meditate on that, all this, the mercy of a pure devotee was coming like like a butter makhan in the cream of the milk. The more I started churning, the more apparent it became. And the more apparent it became, the more it made me humble that how fortunate we are. And that's why in Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, Brahmananda Brahmete Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Kripa Se Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So we must be this, we are these rare souls. And the conviction is that if we hold on to the acharyas, if we hold on to the lotus feet of the devotees present here, our life, our success of our life is guaranteed. For me, I can say whether I'll go home or not, I'm not sure. But the success is that there is peace and tranquility in our life. Hare Krishna. If there is any question or any comment, any correction, please. Yes, Mataji.
Yana, he was saying something, I didn't understand that. Could you please clarify?
Yes. Okay, when Narada Muni met Valmiki Rishi, after he was, he became a Rishi, Narada Muni instructed him to write Ramayana. And Valmiki Rishi asked that, how do I write? I don't know. Is there anybody on this planet with 16 good qualities that I would look at and write about? And Narada Muni gave all these 16 qualities, and that was Lord Ram in Ayodhya. Okay. Is that okay? Okay? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your lecture. I just wanted to share something about what you shared at the very beginning, about what happened to you, the mistakes you made, and things like that. Because yesterday, for me, there were three things that happened, three situations that that showed me that we shouldn't wait. And so from what you said, it's also kind of the teaching you've seen now. And just to say, because what my spiritual master taught me is that when we are seeing situations, there are always teachings behind it. Sometimes we can identify, sometimes not. But anyway, these teachings, they are not, they don't belong to us. And they are not just for us. It's important to share them. So just quickly also.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. Yes, being in the present, that's one thing I will always cherish. I mean, we know it. We know the mind and mind, setting the mind, and all these therapies are going. But sometimes when it comes out from the mouth of a devotee, it has profound effect. There is a little story in India. There was this household, and their child used to eat a lot of sweets. He would eat gore constantly. And obviously, mother was a bit worried that if he keeps eating that much gore every day, he will become sick. So whatever she did was not working. And then she took him to one sadhu in another village. So she took him, walked about 12 kilometers, and when they went to this sadhu's hut, the sadhu said, "Oh, okay, so he is eating a lot of gourd every day?" Mother said, "Yes, I'm worried about him." So sadhu said, "Okay, then come back in 15 days. I will have an answer for you." So mother went back in this heat, went back home. After 15 days, she came back with the child, sat down and said, "Please tell us what to do." So sadhu put the hand on this child and said, "Beta, from today you don't eat gaur, okay?" And mother said, "Is this it?" So he said, "This is it, this is the instructions." So the mother said, "You could have told me this 15 days ago. Why did you let me go home, come back in this heat?" And sadhu said, "I was eating gaur as well. So to give instructions, I had to stop. So I stopped eating gaur for 15 days. So now I can give the instructions." So likewise, when sometimes some instructions or something comes from the mouth of a devotee, one can take that as an instructions. So again, I'm going to thank you, Prabhuji, for that instructions. Hare Krishna. Yeah, what you are doing now. So that made a big difference in my thought process. Yes, Beta.
In the purport, it says, "A pure devotee never approaches the Lord directly, but instead serves a devotee of the devotee, and thus Krishna will be pleased." So who should we pray to at the altar? Not a pure devotee.
I don't understand.
So in the purport, it says, "A pure devotee never approaches the Lord directly." So my question is, so who would we pray to at the altar?
Who do we? Oh, before we start our puja, we worship our spiritual master. We do service on behalf of spiritual master, on behalf of our guru. We don't serve. We don't serve in the kitchen. We assist Radharani. We don't take that. We don't take that we are doing it. We are assistants. Yeah. We can pray to Krishna, but we cannot go directly to Krishna. We can, like we all of us are here. We have our spiritual masters. So whenever we are praying under the shelter of our spiritual master. So if there are any, we shouldn't be doing that, but if there are any offenses, then we are sheltered. We are under spiritual master's direction. Is that right, Sutapa Prabhu? Okay. Is that all right? Okay, thank you very much. And if there are any offenses, I beg your forgiveness. I'm Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai, Samved Bhaktavind ki jai.